Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. All right. As Gavin's over there making himself look like an absolute criminal, he's turning his beard up into a handlebar. Or his mustache, I mean.
I was going to say mustache.
He's like a...
like one of those old-fashioned, like, Italian criminals, black and white stripes and everything.
Yeah, yeah. So, I guess we'll get started today with a couple of little things. Number one, what are you guys drinking? Mark, what you got?
I got a donut beer, probably maybe the last one. It was the last one from our Cords and Calf.
And Gavin is still sipping on water. What an absolute
Agua.
Loser.
Yeah.
I've got...
How dare I? Sustenance of life and all.
Some nice homemade apple pie moonshine.
That good.
Shit looks rancid.
No, it's not. It's real good.
Okay, because from over
you
here,
can't
they
even
look like nasty,
alcohol.
Moldy apples. So you just put apples and some apple cider into a jar and just let it sit for a few weeks?
No.
Nope.
I'm just
we don't know.
Who did you get it from?
My farmhand. His wife made it.
What's his name? What's his first and last name?
Chris.
Kringle?
Chris. But, no, I mean, this is...
I was just seeing if you'd snitch him out. You're a good man.
This is 200 proof. Actually, it's like 210 somewhere in there, but it's pretty fucking good.
Doesn't
shit,
even
dude.
Taste like it.
You can't fucking taste it.
No.
200 proof seems
a
little
pie
high.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking high, man.
Because I feel like when they do moonshiners, like 100 proof is high, like burned your face off. So 200 seems like that's just vapor. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's...
To be fair, it's just a bunch of mixed alcohol.
It is just a bunch of mixed alcohol. This one's not still made.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
But, yeah, they mix it all together, they run it through a proofer, and then that's what it is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking good, man. All right, so, housekeeping. Our next Cords and Calf... Cords and Calf October. The only day that really works for it is October 18th. Okay. The 25th is the day before the
Riggs
and Coffee. I don't want to step on his toes, so
nope.
That would leave us like next weekend or the 18th. And the 18th is the only one I could be ready for.
Yep, and then we got the Gilmore the next weekend or the following?
Fuck, what day is the Gilmore on?
I don't know. I could tell you that I can't make it on the 18th.
What to be that? Honest, I think the 18th is the Gilmore.
We have a wedding.
God damn it. Okay,
I mean,
so.
I don't have to be there.
No, you don't.
I could do the 11th.
The 18th is, I think... We have to do it on the 11th.
Yep.
11th, 25th?
25th is the day before Riggs and Coffee. So it really has to be the 11th.
Yep.
4th?
Yeah. Yeah, let's...
this weekend. This weekend. Is that going to get released by then?
So the episode will come out after Riggs and Coffee. So, yeah.
So, it looks like none of you guys made it, assholes.
With this coming, because this episode will come out like the 6th. God damn it. I don't know why my wife is listening in, but she just reminded me that that's her birthday. So, no, the 11th doesn't work. Fuck, dude. It has to be the 25th, the day before Riggs and Coffee. There's no other day that works.
I'll just have to miss it. It's not a big deal.
No, because the 18th doesn't work. That's the Overland Mall crawl at the Gilmore Museum.
Yeah, then we're not making it.
So
can we do it on a Sunday?
Nope. Saturdays only.
Okay.
What about a Friday?
No.
I like your ambition because a nighttime Corsican calf would be kind of sick.
Okay, except for that.
Do an overnighter.
I can't because of the farm.
Yeah.
What if you do it after checks?
Oh, what? I go to the overnighter and then leave at 2 in the morning? That sounds awful.
Yeah.
You just have to
do it on... Oh, you said you can't do it on the 18th because of the Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yep.
Unless we make the Gilmore Overland Fall Crawl our rigs and coffee, or our cords and calf.
Calf.
I mean...
Seems kind of stupid, but because you got to have people pay to get into it.
I know. Let's do the 25th. So, cords and calf will be on Saturday the 25th. And I'll give you the three words, and then put everything in the show notes. The three words are peculiarly, basics,
ooh,
earliest. And I will...
Can you say that again? I didn't hear that
peculiarly, basics, earliest. And I will put that, I'll put that in the show notes, along with the actual coordinates in the show notes. But... I will not rattle off the show notes. So, yes, peculiarly, basics, earliest.
Ooh.
All right. And the 25th, nobody's birthday, right? We're all good?
Yeah, we're all good.
No.
All right.
Mine's the 28th, so we're good.
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll make it happen, I think. So ooh, now, all right, what's the other housekeeping we got going on here?
My face is burning. You flushed already? Yeah, wow.
You flushed already?
Wow. Like, my face is on fire.
We might have a good Alex here in a little bit.
Yeah.
As opposed to not good Alex before.
I didn't think I drank that much. I haven't. I just had like 3 sips. yeah, so cords and calf. I mean, it'll be fun. This one... Hopefully, doesn't stir up drama. Drama's dumb.
Yeah, we're not doing it on either on any front at all, unless we want to talk about waffles versus pancakes.
Waffles all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
French toast.
I'll take a crepe, which is a pancake.
I like pancakes and I like waffles. They each have their place. But waffles are only good if they have chicken with them, so.
Peanut butter.
And chicken.
I mean, I do love chicken and waffles. Like, that's a really good combo. But I grew up doing peanut butter and waffles and then folding them like a tortilla.
I always slather mine in Nutella and then put syrup on. Bro.
Whoa.
It's,
God, you like sugar.
Oh, it's delicious. I can only have one.
Are you guys like a heavy syrup or are you guys like a light syrup?
Depends if it's real syrup
or
fake
syrup. Depends.
Yeah. I only buy real syrup anymore, but I still a very light drizzle.
Where do you get your syrup from?
My real syrup?
Yeah.
Well, it says 100% maple syrup, but I get it from Meijer.
Yeah, it's not real syrup.
It says it's 100% real syrup.
No,
it
doesn't
have high fructose corn syrup in it.
My cousins have a sugar shack, so we get our syrup from them. And then when that runs out, we go to the fake 100% real syrup from Meijer.
I think that's propaganda because you have other syrup in your family. He's stirring propaganda. He said, don't believe Big Syrup.
Yeah, don't believe Big Syrup.
Say, don't believe him.
Don't believe him. It's lies.
I don't know. I will say this. Look, I'll take a crepe over any of that. I love a really thin pancake-style crepe with some fruit jam, something like that on there.
Nutella and bananas. A crepe with Nutella and bananas? Oh, my God, dude. When I lived in Korea, man, we had this this little restaurant, right? It wasn't a restaurant. It was like a stand right off post. And they would make you Nutella, banana crepes for like $1.50, and oh my god.
Ooh, cheap. Oh dude, I went to Opa. You know where that's at? It's on Alpine.
Yeah, Opa's like my favorite restaurant.
Yeah, it's ours too. They have Korean corn dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We tried them. Dude, it's like having an elephant ear with mozzarella cheese inside.
They're
it's fucking amazing.
Their kimchi is like the second best kimchi I've had in Grand Rapids. The first was at this itty bitty little like two, they had like two booths Korean place that went out of business a couple years ago. They didn't survive COVID is what happened, but man, that place, their kimchi was by far the best I've had in Michigan.
So last time I went, we had that. I had spicy bulgogi, and I did not like bulgogi.
If you get non-spicy bulgogi, it's really good. Spicy bulgogi is not good.
It wasn't the spice as much as it was like the ketchup sauce. Like it literally tasted like ketchup.
So bulgogi doesn't have ketchup sauce on it. That's spicy bulgogi.
That's what I'm saying, though, is like the spicy bulgogi.
Yeah.
But it was also like, it was like pig fat almost. It was really not great.
Yeah.
So I will try it again at some point.
Real, real bulgogi, you eat it, you take a little bit in your chopstick of bulgogi, a little bit of rice, a little bit of kimchi, and then eat that all at once.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Asian cuisine, the Thai place here in our home city of Nuevo, they just got approved for selling food and their food license or whatever. So they will be opening up. And if you haven't seen them, you guys should really check them out. Because their food looks absolutely delicious.
Man, for whatever reason, that reminded me of the Chinese place in Big Rapids that I got shut down. I wonder if I can still find those Facebook reviews.
And we are also having a boycott march down in downtown Nuevo for Nuevo Brewing Company. That's a whole drama. There's so much drama in this world right now.
Dude.
Holy moly.
Why?
I mean, if you really want to go into it, but the one of the co-owners pretty much said that he was...
Why are they doing a boycott march? Just don't go there.
Oh, they're not, but it's also a vigil for Charlie Kirk. So, but yeah, the co-owner said some stuff against it, and a bunch of people boycotted and complained that he supposedly got let go, and they still are going to do a boycott march and peaceful protest and vigil. Honestly, the world's getting crazy.
Yeah,
the world's getting crazy.
But that's all the politics we need to talk about.
Yeah, and that's all I was doing right there was wrapping it up by saying that the world is a crazy place. So, man, I am looking to buy my first AR. That's one thing.
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with politics as much as it is as I, number one, I want an AR. Number two, I want an AR. Number three, kind of want an AR, so.
Yeah, I mean, and like I told you, building one is by far your best way because you're going to get, for just a little bit more than a pre-built one, you're going to get a better gun.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking to do. And to be honest, I'd rather build it. It's a little daunting, but that's because I know nothing. Like, when I say I know nothing about ARs, I know there's a trigger. I know there's a charge handle. I know there's a lower, an upper, a barrel, guard. I don't know much more other than that.
I know,
so
the look on your face
Alex
when I
helping me.
The look on your face when I said something about a gas tube was pretty funny.
Yeah, dude, I did not know what a gas tube was. I thought he was referring to like a chamber in the upper for the gas to come out. So yeah. It was surprising to me when I looked up a gas tube and it looks like brake line. So
I wonder if you could use brake line as a gas tube. Like obviously you'd have to O-ring it. Whereas a gas tube doesn't usually need O-ringed, but like,
in a survival situation.
Now I kind of want to do some experimenting.
Right. So, Alex has been helping me build that. I'm going to start doing what I do when I hyper focus on something, which is just research and watch and learn all I can about it. So I have a really good idea of all the working parts, how to assemble, how to disassemble. And then I will probably, once I purchase everything, much like when I purchase anything else, I will work it until I know everything by hand and memory first before I even shoot it. So,
dude, how cool would it be if we did a video? This would have to go on PeerTube, not YouTube, I think. But if we did a video of us building your AR, oh, God, that'd be so fucking cool.
We could definitely release it on YouTube. We won't get monetized, but we would never look to get monetized for them for that anyway.
So. Yeah. We're not monetized either way.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are we joking? We could throw it on my channel. I don't know if Botches? Botches has a channel. Duh.
Yeah, it's where I posted my walk around and where every podcast episode goes.
Yeah, I forgot as soon as I said that, though. But yeah, we could post it on there. I'd love to do that. We could do the video of us doing that. I'll probably come over there and we could set up some tables, get some beers.
I'll clean my desk so it doesn't look like a pile of trash, and then we can do it in here.
You know, if you guys bought an AR as well, we could do a build party and build it all at the same time, and that would be even cooler.
I'll just take my AR apart and rebuild it. It probably needs cleaned anyway.
Well, you could buy, I don't know, like, you could buy like an upgraded barrel or a new trigger.
I'm thinking about doing a drop-in trigger group. I want a two-stage trigger pretty bad, so that might be a thing.
Me too.
I don't know. I guess I'll do some looking. I was going to hold off on it, but...
It's a lot of... The thing is...
It is.
Well, and if you're buying one anyway, Gavin, that's a reason for you to buy the pack of three lowers.
But we have to go through an FFL.
Either way, we're going to 3D print them. Shh.
We were going to hand carve them out of wood. Can you hand carve those out of wood? Technically, they're not they're not handling any combustion, right?
Technically, no, you wouldn't be able to because the BCG would get hung up as it slides.
But I mean, what's the difference between a 3D printed one made out of plastic versus a wood one with maybe a little bit of plastic on top of it?
You'd have to do a plastic BCG slide that gets hammered into it. I mean, maybe a lower.
I'm just spitballed. Like, how homemade can people get? I mean, I know. Let's say they ban them tomorrow. Can we carve one out of a piece of wood?
Well,
I'd love to see that. I'm sure someone would have something.
If they ban them tomorrow, I do have a thumb drive in an airtight box buried under a tree at my dad's that has all the files we need.
Yay.
And, you know, okay. The world's not crazy out there. Let's talk about burying guns, right? I've been thinking about this, how to do it and have them stay good, right? So if you got like a 6-inch PVC, you cut it a little bit longer than the length of your barrel, right? Then you put the bottom cap on and you seal it up with some PVC glue. And then you put all the gun pieces, gun disassembled, down inside this piece of PVC, and then pour a bunch of gun oil on it, whether, you know, whatever kind, and then seal the other end. I think you could bury that capsule without worrying about the gun rotting out.
Yeah, no, PVC is really good for that, obviously. Everyone knows that. But I, oddly enough, have thought of this before and landed on the PVC route through Reddit, but moisture wick bags, they're not forever, but the amount of moisture inside of it short term, I think, would be fine.
But if you're filling it with oil, you don't need them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you ship guns, is in a bag full of oil.
Right. Yeah. I remember mine coming out fucking
oily. And then it takes like 20 minutes to clean that gun off before it's ready to fire.
I mean, for me, the only time that I would bury my gun, I can't think of one. I would seal it up in a box and throw it in a hollow tree or something before I bury it. I mean, it just to make it easier, because at that same time, you still have to go and unbury it. You still have to know exactly where it's at in the dirt.
You just bury it under a tree.
What if you just camouflage, so put it in a PVC pipe, pull it up into a tree, camouflage catch?
I just think it's more likely to get found than if you buried it.
Like, right, but if it's on your property, like...
Yeah, then it only gets found if the ATF is at your house coming to take your guns, and they're like, let us check everything.
Well, too bad, buddy. I lost it in a boating accident, along with my full stock of batteries.
Yeah, it sucks that you have to go through an FFL for a lower. You used to be able to buy ones that just needed milled out, and then it took, like, no time at all.
Yeah, that is odd. I'll look at M82 Armory, though, and see if they have some lowers. I guess just to see what the price of their lowers would be, but that is a pain.
Guys, it's gotten worse. I can't close my finger at all anymore.
You allergic?
No. Oh, I got stung by a bee today on my finger and have, like, lost all use of my finger.
Well, I don't know if he could say all loss. Like... He could still point really good.
Yeah, yeah. See him.
He makes a good C.
And, like, I can move the base of it. I just can't bend it.
Well, I mean, you have four other fingers. You'd be all right.
Yeah. I mean...
Is that your right hand or left hand?
Left hand.
All right, see? Your trigger finger's good.
The thing is, every time I get stung by a bee, I don't even notice it. This is the first time that it's, like, actually a problem.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I just want more guns. I really want to get into, I don't know if I want to say competition, but I've always wanted to get into drills and just doing that, like, every weekend, every other weekend. Just shooting drills, shooting long range, being competent and confident with what I have. It's just expensive. And that's, like, and expensive not in even the sense of the gun itself, but it's expensive in rounds. Like, just the cost of rounds and to do this every weekend to stay confident.
That's why I don't shoot. Like, I shoot a couple times, maybe once a month. Just because it's so freaking expensive.
Yeah, I'm down quite a bit now. I used to shoot quite a bit. And especially, I'd shoot my 22 more than anything, really, because it was the cheapest.
Yep.
And I had, like, 500 rounds of it. But now I'm down to a couple hundred. And it's nice. Like, usually, I've always been blessed with really good hand-eye coordination, so I can usually get back to whatever muscle memory I had before. That only means so much when you don't have the muscle endurance, I guess. But
we should get out of guns now and talk about actual off-road stuff. I have two good off-road topics to talk about. One.
Okay.
I mean, I'll announce it. I'm not going to say what all's happening, but the Holy Grail Project has started.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going on. For the Holy Grail, I've got two options because I'm going to do a SAS swap. I don't want to deal with IFS problems on this truck. So I'm looking at possibly doing Dana 44s. And I actually found a set of Dana 44s out of a Grand Wagoneer. And for any listeners that know anything about doing a SAS, why shouldn't I do Dana 44s over, like, a Dana 60? Obviously, the Dana 60 is stronger, but I also don't want to lose a shit ton of ground clearance. You know, Dana 44s are good up to, like, 37-inch tires. I've seen people run 40s on them. So really, what is the inherent drawback to running a Dana 44?
Yeah. I'm very curious about that, too.
So yeah, that's going on. We're gonna sass Mark's truck too because IFS sucks.
Yep. Yeah. After seeing him troubleshoot for the last year now, almost.
Yeah, but I got it figured out.
Better off not do. I know. But I think we're better off getting away from the IFS route.
Yeah, I full-heartedly agree. Gavin is going to stay IFS forever.
Oh, I think he's muted.
Gavin is muted. He's sad that we're not talking about guns anymore.
No, no, sorry. But yeah, no, I'm, yeah, for the foreseeable future, I have other stuff to spend my money on, and I'm not doing anything to where Solid Axle is going to benefit me so much that it's worth it. So,
and it's so expensive. Like the kit that I'm looking at for the front from Four Wheel Underground is like $7,500. Fuck, yeah, dude.
But that's almost on par with any good IFS long travel route we gotta do. So I mean, at that point, you're like, which one do I do?
Yeah. I mean, my long travel didn't cost that much. It was free.
No. Yeah.
And to be fair, that $7,500 includes coilovers, Radflow coilovers, mm-hmm. So they're good coilovers.
But the top of the line for our IFS route is a RCLT, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which everyone runs.
Well, the RCLT is sick. It doesn't work with third gen 4Runners.
Yeah. But it's also like almost $10,000.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be sick either way. I'm really looking forward to, well, one, having better articulation. Two, having lockout hubs, because we all know how much I hate not being able to shut off my front wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to do a solid axle swap. The next thing is I need to upgrade my mule. I have decided, even though it is a company vehicle, that it's a good idea to buy, I'm going to build the back window. I'm going to put something over it, maybe steel if I can find a sheet of steel cheap enough. And then I want to build a box that I can put a diesel heater in.
Yeah.
Because the mule's diesel. So then I just run a little fuel tank or fuel line up to the diesel heater and boom, now my little mule is heated.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad idea.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to do that. And then next, I still need tires. That set of 35s, the guy's a fucking douche canoe, and that's not going to happen.
Nope.
He's only a douche canoe because he sold them and won't mark them sold, so they keep popping up in my...
Or at least get rid of the listing.
That's what I'm saying. And he even said in the listing at one point, he edited the listing. That's the part that's got me really confused. Because it used to say, if it says it's available, it's available. But it says it's available and it's not available. So.
Weird.
Yeah. People suck. Marketplace sucks. All right. So that's my two off-roady things. What do you got going on, Mark?
Trying to get it. I'm trying to save up so I can do it, but FJ manual transfer case swap here, and hopefully the next month or so.
Yeah, we need to do that for sure.
Yep. I think I got trying to decide if I want to tear down and take care of a couple engine things that I've been meaning to do for the last year now.
You should wait until the black truck's ready for that.
Yeah, I know. Stupid knock sensors is annoying. And then, gotta look at that second air intake bypass thing again. It's throwing codes again.
God damn it, dude. That thing's a pain in the ass.
Yep. So I'm thinking I'm better off buying a new one and see if that fixes it.
Yeah.
A new truck?
No, not new truck. From what I understood, a lot of people have lemon kits. And so I might have ended up with a lemon kit put into that truck.
Gotcha.
Usually buying a different one actually fixes the problem, so hopefully that's the case.
And Gavin, do you have anything off-roady?
God, how rude. Of course. I mean, this is an off-road podcast, right?
Did you look at your truck this week?
Yeah. I've been in it, been outside of it. I did some rewiring. I wired some rock lights on my truck. I put my solar panel on my truck.
You got your rock lights wired?
Yeah. They were there the other day when I came by.
Oh, I didn't even see them.
He didn't get all the way to the back of his vehicle with
it, though. Yeah, so the rock lights that I won, the cables didn't go all the way to the back because I still had to do, like, a small extension cable. So they were, it was like a harness, and then they had extension, but they only had two extensions. And I won this from a company, I won't even name them because probably not worth it, but they're worth about $76 from their website, but RGB, so when I went to see if I could splice them, I had like five or six wires inside of it, and I'm like, I'm not doing all that. Not for a free kit. Not for something I'm only putting on just to put on.
And they only had... you only had what? Four, was there only four rock lights?
Six.
And they only gave you two extensions.
Yeah.
That's pretty trash, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, if I would have... So, there's a control box and some other wiring. And I think, honestly, if I would have wired that stuff a little lower in my engine bay, I probably would have made it. But I couldn't find any mounting points. I was getting close to steering linkage and, like, exhaust. And I did not want to, like, get too close to that. So, and I was being lazy. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, I really didn't want to put them on, but I got them for free. I was like, fuck it. While I'm here, let's just do it. And it kind of was a pain in the ass, really. The lights themselves came with these cheap bolts and nuts, and I would have to have holes to put them through. Like, I don't have any fucking holes to mount these through throughout the...
Yeah, I...
Like, the body of the truck that are pre-drilled, so I put self-tappers.
That's what I did.
and the self-tappers couldn't set all the way because the horns were bowled for those bolts.
I went and got smaller self-tappers so they would fit.
Yeah, well, I think the issue was is my bits couldn't fit inside of the hole, like the surrounding of it, yeah. So I just got them as tight as I could, which they're tight.
Wait, and if
they're just not as tight.
If they're RGB, you couldn't put them through your switch panel, could you?
I can, yeah. So it does have a switch to turn them on and off, but that switch is manual. So I actually just kind of tucked that into the pillar.
And then ran it off your switch panel.
So it's always on, and then when I turn my switch panel on, it's always on. And then there's a remote that you can change it from outside of the truck, whatever color, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So they're bright. They look decent. I wired the... So out of the six, I did my front engine, or front engine, my front wheel wells, and then I did right under our doors, like where we open them, so we had some lighting when we did that.
Yeah.
And then I have them in the front of my grill area, I guess, just for some backlight, just because it was a place to put them. Are you trying to... Oh, here's an alarm.
Man, that is loud.
This is loud. Here we go.
So you know how you always call during the podcast, Ed?
Hey, it's podcast night. Bye.
Bye. You're on the podcast if you want to say. Oh, he's gone.
Hey, man, he had a good announcer voice. Hey, it's podcast time. Bye. That's funny. But yeah, so I ran the rock lights just up to my grill area. So they do backlighting. That's what they are. They're ambiance. So, I mean, they went fine. They work. They're bright-ish. I mean, I can see them in the daylight. But I also wired in my solar panel.
I thought you already did that.
I haven't. I don't think I said that on the podcast. Oh, okay. So.
Yeah, no. That wasn't over the podcast yet.
Yeah, so I wired in the solar panel probably, what was it, last week, I think? Because it was before rigs, the week before, like Wednesday before rigs.
Yep.
Did the whole decal. It was my first time putting on a decal, and it was easier and harder than I thought at the same time. Like, I didn't know I'd just have to unroll it, throw some soapy water under it, and then squeegee it all off. That was easier than I thought, but at the same time, it kept sliding around every time I was pushing water out of it. It was pissing me off, so harder than I thought in that sense. So, yeah, so first time for everything, and maybe I should have read some instructions, but I watched a couple YouTube videos.
Oh, my God.
Professional, so hey, it turned out all right. Mark saw it.
I saw it.
So, yeah, I did that, squeegeed it all off, waited the 2 to 4 to 24, whatever it said, hours for it to cure. It said 24 to 48, but I couldn't wait. I wanted to do. So I did the 2 to 4, and it was hot out. It adhered. It was fine. It was dry. And put the solar panel on that after I 3M sticky taped the whole bottom of the solar panel. Put that bitch on there. Super easy wiring, just 2 connections. And then you just wire that to your battery. It was super easy. I mounted the solar controller on top of my switch panel controller. A switch panel box, which is also on top of my battery. So I have a mountain of things on top of my fuse top on my battery. But that was, I was being lazy. I'll move it someday. So I got that. It's all hooked up. It's working. It was charging at a good 65 watts when I wasn't at full charge. So I would say that that's working pretty well for a 100-watt solar panel. If you don't know, they only kind of charge to 80% of capacity usually anyway. So,
and then Michigan is Michigan, and we have no sun. So
yeah. So 65 watts for me.
I don't know about good. That one.
Yeah,
it's been sunny last couple days.
It has, yeah. But like the thing is, solar panels here in general work less than a solar panel in, say, Arizona.
Yeah,
right. Just the UV,
yeah,
exposure. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's working good. I have it on a Bluetooth app, so I could check what it's drawing, what my battery is at, what the temperature of my battery is at, everything like that. So, it's pretty cool. And then I did some wire management because that was seriously needed. Got my little mini zip ties out, started kind of, I don't know, like consolidating. And then while I was working all that wiring, I took my battery out, cut a piece of wood to make a spacer to raise my battery up a little bit. And put the wood underneath the battery. Because I have a red top, and the red top was about 2.5 inches shorter than my old battery.
Hmm.
Same or better cranking, but just shorter. So my mount bracket for the battery, the hold down bracket, couldn't tighten on it. So that loose negative issue I was having, when I was wheeling and my truck just not starting, that was because my battery was bouncing around and it loosened the negative terminal off. So I put that underneath the battery, bolted that down with some self-tappers, and, you know, put that back on, mounted it, tested everything out. Everything worked good. We went to go to Rigs and Coffee Sunday, and I couldn't shift out of park.
Oh, my God. Like,
what the fuck? So I'm trying to figure out, can't figure out why it won't let me shift out of park. I thought, you know what, maybe while I was messing and checking fuses, I put one back in the wrong spot, sure as shit. I had one, it was my park auxiliary or something like that. Yep, fuse is in the one spot lower than it was supposed to be. I moved it, boom, I could shift. Crazy.
I had a similar problem when I hit that deer last year, where as soon as I hit the deer, I could get it to shift out of park, but I had to hit the park release and I couldn't figure out why. Turned out that it had, when I hit the deer, it had jostled the fuse out of position. No other damage on the truck. The fuse just rose out of its slot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it happened to me because I was at daycare, and my mirror lights were flickering and then just turned off. So I tried to fix the mirror light. I popped the reflective part of the mirror off, reconnected, and kind of messed with the prongs of the light. And I guess I blown a fuse when I did that. And normally I wouldn't care, but it that fuse also powers my dash lights.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't see a damn thing. So I went to go fix that, and that's how I figured that out. So, yeah. Other than that, no real news. I have Bison sending me some new gear soon. That's going to be cool. They're sending me the propane tank mount and a couple other goodies. So I will let you guys know how that goes. But not having my propane tank in the truck will be nice.
Yeah.
That'll save me some space. So that I could put my firebox that I just got. I just picked up a firebox and a propane tank. Propane tank went to Alex. And the firebox, I tested out, really good. Carries some really good heat, honestly. I was surprised.
I wish that the propane tank was the blue one, just because they look cool.
They do. Yeah, they do. When I looked it up to see the price of it, because I was going to put it on Marketplace if nobody said they wanted it, for, you know, $100 or so, and saw that they were, like, pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But the blue ones are cool. So
that's why
it doesn't matter. I got it for free, basically.
That was the reason that I was never a huge Ignik fan, because it's like $130 for a fucking 5-pound propane tank. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, and then for the, like, the shield thing that goes over it, the cover or the bag or whatever,
yeah,
that's another price, too. So I found a fire can for sale on Facebook for $120. I asked them if they'd take $100. They said sure. So I picked that up for $100 and gave Alex half of that kit, and I kept the fire can, tested it out on my...
Gave Alex. I paid for it.
Well, I didn't want to, like, say that you paid a certain amount, so that's just what I that's just what I said. But then I tested it out before I did that, just to make sure there was gas and everything in the tank, everything was working properly. Did it on my dining room table. That was smart.
Yeah, I paid the price that those tanks should be.
Yeah, $50.
Yeah, right? That's what they should be. Not that bad.
So. All in all, in the firebox, which is usually a good $200-some for the firebox, and then $100-some for the tank, I paid, after guy math, $50.
Yeah, you did. So, you did good.
Yeah, so it was pretty good. Alex has something for cheaper than it would usually be if he bought it. I have something for cheaper than it usually would be if I bought it. So
yeah, yep. If you hadn't gotten that, I never would have bought that. I would have just went and bought a 5-pound one from somewhere, or probably a 10-pound, honestly. And I would have just ran that.
10 pounds aren't that much. Yeah, 10 pounds aren't that much more expensive than 5, surprisingly, but kind of crazy.
I wonder how much I can get a 10-pound one for off Marketplace.
Sorry, if anybody hears my kid knocking around, apparently he's a heathen. He broke our gate that separates the kitchen to, like, get over here, and I've been too lazy to put it back up because it's kind of a pain.
Yeah. So, you see, this is what I would have done. 2 30-pound propane tanks in Saginaw for $28, certified.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
Yeah, I don't know.
You said 30 pounds?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just have a hard time paying the ridiculous prices some of these companies ask for. Ignik's are, like, yeah. I like Ignik products, don't get me wrong. It's just, they're not worth, it's literally just a bit of steel with a valve on it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I paid it because I was storing it in the vehicle, and I wanted the nice little case to help keep some of the crap. Because I really don't love propane smell.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of keep that sealed in. It seemed to do well enough, and keep it clean, keep it without getting wet. And I could store it outside without really worrying about it. And I'm going to try that when I do get that propane tank mount. I'm going to try and do it with the case. And if I can't, so be it. But getting that, the whole reason I wanted the 5-pounder was because I needed something bigger than a 1.
Yeah.
And I really didn't have a ton of space inside the truck to put like a 30. So it was kind of a good happy medium. It fit perfectly with everything else that I have in there, but getting rid of that is going to give me more space to put a fire can, or the perfect place for that area, honestly, right now would be a diesel heater for this coming up, which I do plan to get to coming up here. I really need to get on that because once it starts getting colder, man, it's really going to limit our season. I kind of feel like we're pretty much done, though.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get out
the last couple.
We've still got, oh hey, we're supposed to talk about this on here. So yeah, we still got Benji's Friendsgiving coming up on the 21-22 of November.
Yep.
Which Benji was nice enough to give tickets to me, Mark, Alan, and Kaylin.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to blast him with reels and
yeah,
all the fun stuff.
Oh, so even if I was able to go, I'd still have to buy my own ticket.
They're a whopping $50.
For right now. For right now.
Yeah.
They go up, I think, the 1st of November.
Ah.
Yeah. Because I was thinking of driving down there, actually, but just because I tend to be free right now, we'll see. There's so much happens between then. My son's birthday is a couple days before, so...
I mean,
we're going to be spending money on his second birthday.
If you are
kind of like, I don't know.
If you are able to go, I'll split the cost of a ticket with you.
Oh, dude, ticket won't be that bad. I just didn't realize that there were tickets. So completely fine, not a big deal. We'll see. My issue, I think, honestly, the biggest issue is because it's a couple days before Jasper's birthday, or a couple days after, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
His is on the 18th. It's on the 22nd. I'm already going to be spending money on his birthday, and then that doesn't leave a whole lot left for traveling to another state.
So. Right. Yeah, but it's...
As much as I would, because it would be a great opportunity not only for me and Botches, but myself as well,
yeah,
to get out and meet some of these people. I'd love to see, like, if Caleb Baker's there. I'm like a big fan of him. I'd love to talk to him. Of course, any of the other guys, but
Caleb Baker's a pretty cool guy. He just posted something cool the other day.
Yeah, he just dropped a new YouTube video that looks sick.
Oh, I haven't watched his YouTube videos.
Oh, his YouTube videos are great.
Oh yeah, it was a link to his YouTube video that I saw.
Yeah,
just yep. The thing was cool. But yeah, no, Caleb's a cool guy, man. Probably one of my favorite connections we've made was Caleb Baker, because not only is he really cool in what he does and what he's built, he's a really down to earth and just nice guy.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's hard to. It's not hard to find in the overlanding community as much, I think. Like when you actually start talking to these people in person, but it's hard to find in the world, you know.
Yep.
So it's good to have down to earth people in your circle.
And Caleb is an incredible filmmaker. Like, oh my god, oh, dude.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
His
filming is
like,
I aspire to that someday.
I think that Caleb has probably the best filmmaking ability on any of the like overland YouTube space. If him and Sean from Story Till Now got together and Sean did the narration and story part and Caleb did the filmmaking. Oh my God, dude. That would be,
I think they have gotten together. I'm not positive, but I think they have. I just don't think they did it like that.
Cause like Sean,
but,
and
yeah, I mean, as far as single people goes, like, I don't think he has a team. He does it by himself, but as far as his solo crew filmmaker goes, He's definitely one of the best.
Even with a crew, who does better? I can't even think of one who uses a crew right now.
I mean, I know EXO does it. They're pretty high quality.
I don't even count EXO. They're like a whole different thing. But their stuff is,
I don't know. I mean,
their stuff is pretty good.
It is very high quality. I mean, when I throw that up on my computer screen and play it at the highest quality, it's fucking gorgeous to watch. I like XO. I like everyone. I don't have any. I like watching those low budget guys. Like, there's a. I don't think it's not Independence Overland, because that's the other guy that we, Tyler.
No.
But there's Outbound Intent, I believe it is. I found him a while back. He actually had a Subaru Baja that he built out for overlanding. Mm-hmm. And when I had a Subaru Baja, I was like, dude, that's super cool. That's what I want to do. And then I find out a couple videos later that he has a fucking FJ2. So one of the very few people that had that odd combination of a Subaru Baja and an FJ, and he was doing overland content for his age, his profession, his video making. He's got really, really, really good narrating skills. He's got really good video and like film skills, and he's got nowhere near the follower base yet, but he really deserves it. Really, really cool. I think he's based out of Maine, that area. I'm not positive, but it's cool.
I will come out and say I've never watched an X Overland like travel video. I've only watched X Overland build videos. So
you should open your mind, buddy.
I don't know, man.
They are cool.
I'll occasionally turn on like Story Till Now or something, but generally if I'm watching off-road content, it's build videos.
Yeah.
Because call me a soft roader, whatever you want to call me, but I prefer the building part. Like, the wheeling part is fun, don't get me wrong, but building is what I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy I really, really love, and I will always put him up there. One of the most creative and funny dudes on YouTube, C90 Adventures. He is hilarious. He's the guy who did, I believe, the C90 from all the way through South America. I think he did it up through North America. And then he did 1,000 miles in a mini Jeep.
Upgraded.
Upgraded and built out throughout his trip. So he started out with the the original $1,500 mini Jeep from like a tractor supply or whatever. And then as he drove it, things would obviously break, and he's got it now basically the body on top of a quad. He's got it radio remote controlled so that when he gets into super deep snow on mountain passes, he can walk behind his mini Jeep and radio control it with a controller. and the guy's hilarious too. Like, he's always doing something funny. He's talking to locals. He's always got people helping stuff out. I think his shifter broke one time and he drove it in like second all the way into a town and found a random mechanic to weld his shifter back on. Like, he struggles a ton, and part of that struggle is some of the entertainment, man. He went through a mud pit somewhere in like Idaho or something like that, just trying to get through the trail. And he doesn't have like mud flaps or whatever on the side. Because his quad tires are wider than the wheel wells on the Jeep. So this dude, by the time he got out of it, you're watching him, he's covered in fucking mud, and he's living like this too. I mean, it's quality, cool stuff. He actually met, I think, the CEO of Firebox, the little built fireboxes that you can put together that are panels. He just so happened to meet that guy, and he hooked him up with a Firebox because he was making coffee. AeroPress hooked him up. Like, just super cool guy. He's another one of those that would be like, just sitting down and talking with him for a while, it would be a crazy conversation, the stuff that he's been through. Man. I think he did like a trip across Europe with 5 random guys that he like put an ad out on like Craigslist kind of thing. Whatever was older than Craigslist. He did like 5 random guys. They all met up. He charged them like a certain amount of pounds to do the tour. And then they guys that have never driven like a Honda C90, and they just fucking drove across Europe with, like, it's just crazy. And he's got it all well documented. It's really cool to watch.
Since we're just talking about cool YouTube channels at this point, you should look up Destination Adventure. I've been following this guy since, like, I don't know, 2015. He had like 400 subscribers or something when I started, and he's up to like, he's up to like 350,000 subscribers, but his stuff is so fun, dude. Like, it's not really off-roading, or yeah, it's not really off-roading, a little bit of overlanding, I guess. When I started following him, he was driving an RV across the country and stopping at like, just abandoned places and exploring them. And now I think he's got a Cummins, I believe. He's got some Dodge with a truck bed camper on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like he's got a 12-valve Cummins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sick, dude.
This is another one of those guys who it's just, all of his content is just entertaining and fun to watch. And he does, like, he does everything from, like, homesteading to, obviously the travel stuff. Like, it's just, it's really cool.
Yeah, he's got a real lot of cool stuff. Got some good views, too. I'll have to check him out. Yeah, I really, really enjoy this kind of stuff, too. I like the big stuff. I like the, it's like watching a movie versus watching a, you know, a vlog.
Yeah.
Like, I like watching movies sometimes. I want to sit down. I want to be immersed. I want to see, like, exo, you know, quality type stuff. But sometimes I want to see little vlogs from creators that aren't as well known. It just really depends. I really enjoy the scenery, I think, and the adventure.
I wish that I could have the ability to do it like a daily vlog, like what what is that guy's name? He did daily vlogs for a long time. He was like the biggest guy on YouTube for a long time too. Give me a second, I'm sure I follow him. His last name's Nystat. I know that. His brother's name is Van. Man, why can't I think of this dude's name? Casey. Casey Nystat. I'd love to do like daily vlogs the way that he did, but I, one, don't have the ability to be interesting enough, and two, I, well, don't have the ability to be interesting enough.
Right. Oh, this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't, honestly, I didn't even realize it, but yeah.
He retired from, well, not retired, but like, he quit doing daily vlogs a while ago. So, yeah, but when he was doing daily vlogs, dude, he was huge on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are making it on the YouTube thing. Makes it very competitive. There's a lot of people making it on, it's funny enough, TikTok and stuff, too. Like, they're making good livings on just posting, doing lives, being gifted. Obviously, there's a certain group that does better than the others, like pretty women that are provocative. That's what gets the people going.
AI models do the best.
Yeah. But I mean, even smaller creators, there's like Asian influencers. I've seen one that they're on the Great Wall of China, and every gift is a certain amount of feet or yards that they have to run.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen this.
So like they it's so funny, dude. They just get back from like 500 yards and someone just fucking drops something else and they got to run again. It's like, dude, keeps you in pace. There's bigger guys that are working out and every gift is a rep or something like that. People make money on it. So it's cool stuff.
You guys have been here for a journey. I went from my finger barely not moving to not moving to moving again.
See, all better. All it took was some moonshine.
Oh, it still hurts like hell.
Well, not enough moonshine.
Yeah, but I'm all out of moonshine.
We're almost out of time, so.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we will catch you guys later.
Yep. We'll see you later.
Later.